Now, President Biden is under pressure from many Democrats, including Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, to cancel up to $50,000 worth of debt for people still paying off student loans. This week, a group of 17 state attorneys general, including Josh Call of Wisconsin, wrote a letter to the president backing that effort. Biden says he supports forgiving up to $10,000 of student debt, but is resisting calls to raise that number. The country holds about $1.7 trillion collective dollars of student debt, but some researchers say that forgiving large amounts of that debt could actually benefit those who need help the least. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the idea of forgiving some level of student loans, whether that's $10,000 or $50,000? What's been your experience paying back student loans? Do you favor across-the-board cuts if you're in favor of anything, or would you like to see a more targeted approach, or do you think people should pay back the loans they took out? And would you support making college more affordable on the front end? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sandy Baum is a non-resident senior fellow for the Center on Education, Data, and Policy at the Urban Institute and Professor Emerita of Economics at Skidmore College. She's author of the book Student Debt, Rhetoric and Realities of Higher Education Financing. Sandy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, when we look at the idea of across-the-board debt forgiveness, whether we're talking about $10,000 or $50,000 or the whole shebang, whatever, you've done a lot of research into who that helps the most. What kind of things do we see when we start to break down the numbers?
Well, the first thing is who's not helped by this. And who's not helped by this is anyone who didn't go to college. So if you didn't go to college because you didn't think you could afford it, you won't be helped. If you've already paid off your student loans, you won't be helped. So usually the conversation is in terms of among people with student debt, you know, who has the most debt and who would benefit most from large amounts of forgiveness. So we can talk about that question. It's important. It's important to note that about a third of borrowers who have student debt owe less than $10,000. A very, very small number of borrowers owe more than $50,000. It's maybe 20% of borrowers. They owe a huge share, maybe 60% of the loans. So you have a few people who went to graduate school. You cannot borrow more than $30,000 for most students and $50,000, $60,000 for some older students. You can't borrow more than that from the federal government for undergraduate education. So these large amounts of debt are for people who went to graduate school. Graduate school doesn't work out beautifully for everybody, but certainly people who went to graduate school have much higher earnings than typical taxpayers who made the loans to these people.
At a town hall event here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee last week, President Biden was asked about the idea of forgiving up to $50,000 of student loan debt. He said he wouldn't do that. Here's a listen to his argument as to why.
It depends on whether or not you go to a private university or a public university. It depends on the idea that I say to a community, I'm going to forgive the debt, the billions of dollars of debt for people who have gone to Harvard and Yale and Penn and schools, my children. I went to a great school. I went to a state school. But is that going to be forgiven rather than use that money to provide for early education for young children who are come from disadvantaged circumstances?
Is there something to that argument that the higher amount of student loan debt that you forgive, $50,000 or more, that's going to people maybe who went to those elite expensive schools?
The issue is not so much where they went to school as it is who they are and what their circumstances are now. Student debt is disproportionately held by people in the top half of the income distribution. That's because higher education pays off very well for most people, and people who hold a lot of student debt went to college for a long time. They have a bachelor's degree, if not a graduate degree. So if what you want to do is help people who are struggling, most of the people struggling to repay their loans are people who dropped out of college, people who borrow just a few thousand dollars. And forgiving up to $50,000 in student debt is helping lots of people who are simply doing much better than most of the people who are going to foot the bill for this payment. We do have in place, I must say, a policy that says if you have federal student loans, you don't have to pay more than you can afford. It's income-based. Your payments are a function of your income. Right now, during the pandemic, you don't have to pay at all. But at all times, your payments are limited. And if you can't afford to pay over 20 years, your debt will be forgiven in the end. We already forgive debt for people who cannot afford the payments.
Is there a case to be made for not just payment limits or payment deferment, but actual loan forgiveness for that targeted group you were just talking about, the people who racked up some debt, didn't end up with that degree that's going to help them make money to pay it off?
There are certainly people who should have their debt forgiven. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, who are victims of fraud and abuse by their schools. We need to forgive their debt. They were misled into borrowing. There are people who, there are parents who were below the poverty level, and we gave the parents loans, and they can never afford to repay them. We should forgive those debts. If you dropped out of college with $5,000 of debt and you're working at the minimum wage, you're not going to be able to pay that off. We should not make you wait 20 years to get that debt forgiven. Yes, there certainly are groups of people whose debts should be forgiven quite quickly.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hi. So I fall into that category of some college, but not a actual degree. I had a heart attack while I was in college. I had $30,000 in debt, which tells you how far along I was, which has now ballooned to $50,000 in debt because I wasn't really able to work. So $50,000 would be great. Or if he wants to stick to $10,000, I would say make it so we can file bankruptcy on the rest or tie it to a ultra low interest.
Cutting out there, Tim. Sorry about that. That sounds like a very scary experience. Thank you for sharing that with us. The thought of controlling interest rates, being able to refinance, declare bankruptcy, and include student loan debt. Sandy, what do you think of those ideas that Tim floated there?
Well, the bankruptcy rules are a real problem, and particularly for private student loans, because if you go to the bank and borrow money put it on your credit card, you can declare bankruptcy and get it forgiven. But if it's for a student loan, then it's much more difficult to get it forgiven. So this borrower, I don't know anything about your income. Obviously, you, through no fault of your own, were unable to complete your degree. And if your debt is disproportionate to your income, as I gather it is, you need to be in an income-based repayment plan so that it will get forgiven. If you have a disability, a permanent disability, we should forgive your loans right now because you're never going to be able to pay them back. The idea of stretching the time period out is that for some people, incomes are low at the beginning after they leave college, and then they grow and they can afford to pay them back. But if we can already see that you're not able to work in an occupation that would allow you to pay off your loans, then yes, those are debts that should be forgiven. The caller also points to another problem, that loan amounts grow when people don't make payments. And we should limit how much the amount you owe can increase over time just because you're not able to afford the payments. That should be limited so that it wouldn't double over time.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Tony now in Wausau. Tony, hello.
Hello. I think that we should not forgive student loan debt because people made that choice, and there were plenty of options available. I'm in the Wausau, Wisconsin area, and students here could have gone to the technical school and received a technical degree. They could also have joined the United States military and given themselves approximately $100,000 scholarships in 2 seconds by putting 3 or 4 years in the military, which is what I did. I graduated from college in 3.5 years without debt. My sons graduated from college in approximately the same amount of time without student loan debt. They made choices to work during school and were very conscious of making good choices while in school so that when they got out, they did not have debt.
Tony, thanks a lot for the call. And Cindy, there's a fairness argument and a responsibility argument that we hear in arguments against student loan debt. What do you think of what our caller had to say?
Well, I think both fairness and responsibility arguments are very important. Now, not everyone has lots of options. For many people, the only way they can go to college and get a degree is to incur debt. And for most of those people, that makes them better off than they would have been if they had not gone to college. And because they're better off, they can actually repay their loans. So it's right. We should not forgive everyone's loans. People used that money. We handed them the money, they used it. And for most of them, it was a very good investment. What we do need is insurance policies, because it doesn't work out for everyone. And if you borrowed the money and it just didn't work out for you, it shouldn't ruin your life. But it is absolutely true that there are people who worked their way through college and didn't borrow. There are people who have tried really hard to pay off their debts quickly. And to say to them, oh, sorry, you did that. If you hadn't, we'd hand you the money now. But, you know, sorry, you're out of luck. There are lots of inequities that would result if we just did a large blanket loan forgiveness. But it's not right that everybody has the option to get through college without borrowing. Many people do not.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Sandy Baum right now, senior fellow at the Urban Institute's Center on Education, Data, and Policy. We're looking at student debt in the United States and the idea of canceling some level of debt for borrowers. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the idea of student loan debt cancellation? A $10,000 figure supported by President Biden, $50,000 figure other Democrats are backing, or do you want to see a more targeted approach, if anything, as opposed to across the board for everyone? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Sandy Baum, senior fellow at the Urban Institute, professor emerita of economics at Skidmore College, looking at the question of canceling student loan debt. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Isaiah is with us in Deerfield. Isaiah, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I went to college. I went to UW-Milwaukee and graduated with a BFA in Arts and Technology around 2010. And I had, at the time, about $40,000-something in student loan. And I'm still paying on that today. And when I graduated, I didn't make a lot of money. Obviously, I went to art school, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I made about $16 an hour, which wasn't enough to pay for pretty much anything, and except for maybe an apartment. And so I went through a lot of jobs, and eventually I became a got into the skilled trades and became a union plumber, which is what I do right now. And now I'm able to make a lot of money to pay off my student debt and take care of my family, pay for my house and my car and all that stuff. And I guess I have mixed feelings about it, because it'd be nice if somebody forgave some of the money, which I still owe. I'm still paying on it. Even a portion of it, $10,000 or all of it, that would be awesome. Obviously, it would do a lot for my family to help out and make our life better. But at the same time, I kind of feel like when you start paying off debt like that for people, you're kind of rewarding people for either not following through, or maybe just, you know, you don't really have to do as good of a job. Somebody's going to come and take care of it for you. And it's like, well, you know, I think a lot of people really need to step up to the plate and say, hey, I'm going to take care of this myself.
Isaiah, thanks a lot for the call. Sandy, a lot there. Mixed feelings on this, yeah, and a personal experience. You know, a key word he mentioned, though, was 2010. And I think about, you know, we had this class of high school and college graduates hitting the job market in the depth of the Great Recession, another last year during the pandemic where maybe they did plan pretty well, but this really set back their early career path. The jobs they thought might have been available weren't. I don't know. How do you see that fitting into the student debt picture?
So the caller is right that there are, you know, arguments on both sides of this issue. It's interesting. Many, many people would say that if we could just give them $10,000, their lives would be better. And it might really be a good idea in this pandemic to give every household $10,000. But why would we exclude those households where no one went to college? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about saying, we know a lot of people are struggling now. If you're struggling, but you didn't go to college, sorry. If you're struggling, but you went to college and you borrowed money, we're going to help you out. And that's really not equitable. What about people with medical debt? I mean, I don't think anybody should have to borrow for healthcare, but many people have medical debt. And it's interesting that there isn't a strong movement to forgive that debt. So we really need to think not only about stories of people who are having hardships and ways to mitigate those hardships, but about people in very different circumstances who are struggling and how we're going to equitably help people who need support.
Thanks, Isaiah, for that call. Before we go back to our callers, do you think we need, Sandy, to do more work on the front end to make college or some college options more affordable so that people don't have to take on huge amounts of debt. It may be in a gamble in a case where they might not be able to finish college and not get the benefit from it.
We absolutely need to do that. Right now, the federal grant program for low and moderate income students gives you a maximum of about $6,500 a year. There are calls to double that. If we doubled it, it would mean that many fewer people would have to take out big loans. Those are grants that are targeted at people based on their incomes. And we could double this for 10 or 20 years for the amount that people are talking on about spending on forgiving student debt. And forgiving that debt isn't going to send anybody else to college. It's just going to make life easier for people who already went to college.
Talking to Sandy Baum, non-resident senior fellow at the Urban Institute's Center on Education, Data, and Policy, talking about the idea of forgiving student loan debt. Back to your calls now. Buck is with us in Sturgeon Bay. Buck, hello.
Hey, how's it going? You know, this is a very, very complex idea, but we are nothing's fair, and I don't think it's fair that we start forgiving debt for people who, you know, ran off and did college and then whatever. But if it's going to be done, I think it should be like all these PPP loans that the government's doing. Let's have it be done through a bank and have them look at your credit and have them look at your debt load that you currently have. And if you're just a bad spender and you've got a big house and fancy cars and you're asking for $50,000 in college debt to be erased, I don't think you really deserve it. If you truly fell on hard times and things aren't working for you, well, I think we need to help people out. But I think it needs to be done through a very strict process to make sure we're not just giving money to people who don't need it.
Buck, thanks a lot for the call. Sandy, what do you think of that idea, a process to confirm that people are, I guess, deserving of some level of forgiveness here?
So as I mentioned before, we do have in place income-driven repayment plans. So we verify your income. And then if you cannot afford to pay your student loans, you don't have to. That system makes a lot of sense. If you can afford the payments because your education paid off well, as it does for most people, you have to pay back the loans. You spent that money, you have to pay back the loans. But if it didn't work out for you, you don't have to pay them back. We need to improve the system. We need to make it work better for people. It's certainly far from perfect. But that idea, as the caller suggests, that we're going to forgive loans from people who really can't afford to pay them back, but for the many people who can afford it and are better off than the taxpayers who would end up paying the bills for them, those people should pay back the loans that they borrowed.
Thanks, Buck, for calling in. We heard from Susan on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Susan writes, "The future of our economy lies in the ranks of those with huge student debt. The cost of higher education has outflanked inflation, making it almost impossible for students seeking higher education not to go into huge debt. It's time to correct this imbalance." Susan, raising the point of the future of the economy, there have been some studies, generally from supporters of debt forgiveness, saying that people with these high student loan debts aren't doing things like buying houses, buying cars, and it's a drag on the economy. What do you think of that argument, Sandy?
Well, first of all, the average debt of a bachelor's degree recipient who borrowed is equal to about a year of the difference in median earnings of high school graduates and college graduates. So even though you have that debt, if you're the typical college graduate, you could pay it back in a couple of years if you just lived at the standard of living you would have lived at as a high school graduate. Let me say that if we forgive student debt, if we forgave $10,000 in student debt, we wouldn't hand everybody $10,000 to go spend. It would be that over the months of the coming years when they would have been making payments, they'll have a couple hundred dollars extra every month. That is not a huge stimulus. And the fact is that people who went to college are more likely to buy houses than people who didn't because they have higher incomes.
Time for one more caller. Alex is with us in Green Bay. Alex, hello.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me. I think the huge part of the solution lies in the interest rates. So I went to college in a time where they significantly changed and I ended up with higher rates. So even though I did get them reduced, if I looked at the $57,000 I graduated with and if I made the payments and never missed a payment, I still would have ended up paying, I believe it was like $92,000 total. So that's a lot of money in interest. And when we can see 1% and 2% interest rates on everything right now, I think that's a huge solution that we can look at instead of a lump sum is what can we do with those interest rates, reducing them to little to nothing, and then still have that loan to pay back, but allow people to have more money to spend in the economy, assuming they get a good job, or if they don't get a good job, and also reducing those payments short-term and long-term.
Alex, thanks for the call. We touched on interest rates a little bit earlier. Sandy, do you think that's an important part of the puzzle?
Well, it is, in the sense that it would be great if the interest rates on the loans that you took were variable and changed with interest rates in the economy. But the fact is that monthly payments, if you're an income-based repayment, don't depend on the interest rate. They depend only on your income. So yes, we need to do something about the interest rates, but figure out how much you're paying on your mortgage and you'll see a similar problem. Charging interest is reasonable, but some of the interest rates on some of those older loans are really out of sync with the lower interest rates in the economy today.
Thanks for the call. Sandy, in our last 30 seconds, I mean, it's easy to say, you know, cancel $10,000 of student loan debt for everybody or 50 or all of it or whatever. Do you think we're missing some nuance in the political debate over this, though?
Well, I think that the people who hold student debt tend to be middle and upper middle class young people, and they are a powerful political force. And that it would be great if we paid as much attention to the serious problems of people who, because of the pandemic, cannot pay their rent, of people who can't pay their medical bills, of people who are having their utilities shut off. So we really need to think, we can't do everything. A lot of people have problems we need to solve. We should think hard about how we should spend taxpayer funds.
Sandy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Sandy Baum is a non-resident senior fellow at the Urban Institute's Center on Education Data and Policy. She talked to us about student debt in the United States as some top Democrats are trying to get President Biden to back the idea of forgiving $50,000 of debt for borrowers.